out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and that music means our friend Casey Johnson is here. She is the Prescott Area Chamber of Commerce and Tourism Bureau Coordinator, and she is joined today by Kimberly Braun, the owner of Lucille's. Ladies, nice to have you on the phone today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. So, Casey, I know that you enjoy highlighting different things that are going on in Prescott, all sorts of, or it is sort of Prescott, isn't it? I had a relative that lived in Prescott, and that's how they say it. Anyway, so many wonderful things going on. But Kimberly, I don't know anything about you personally. I think your restaurant is wonderful. I think it's has a beautiful outdoor and indoor space. But tell us a little bit about yourself, and how long have you owned Lucille's?
I've owned Lucille since March of 2018, so it's been about 2.5 years. I came and purchased the restaurant and left a very nice career at Treasure Island, where I was an executive in food and beverage and ran many of the restaurants and in that department. Did a lot of stuff down there. Before that, I had 14 years with TGI Fridays. I've been in the industry for over 30 years, worked with a lot of notable chefs, and bopped around, opened probably close to 20 restaurants, so pretty big. Got a little bit of a background. So I've been here for 16 years, and it was something I had wanted to do for quite a while and had my eye on the Brickyard for over 5 years until I finally figured out that I wanted to go for it.
So you had been there and talked to the people that owned it before you?
Oh, yes, yes. I had looked, once I saw that it was for sale a long time ago, I went and talked to the bank, and I didn't have all the key players in place. I definitely needed a chef, which is where Greg Schmatzer came in, and it took me about 3 years to convince him to leave another very long career at Treasure Island and to come aboard. So it was kind of a risky gamble, but we went for it, and so it had been for sale for quite a while. So Beth and I, the previous owner, worked together closely to get the deal done, and took about 4 months, and now here we are.
Well, that is just great, and we're thrilled that the restaurant continues. And tell us a little bit about Lucille's. Where did the name come from, please?
Lucille was my grandmother. She passed away in 1981. She and my grandfather were restaurant people as well. He was a chef, and she worked in the kitchen. And so my mother was an only child, and I was the only grandchild for several years, so I was spoiled rotten. Sorry if you can hear my dogs in the background.
We love that. We're dog people here.
It was kind of a real pivotal moment in my life, and so it was a name that I sat on for a long, long time, trying to figure out how I was going to use it and where. And originally I was supposed to have a girl, and I had the oops surprise and had another boy, so it was still sitting there, and it fit the theme. It fit what I was going for as far as my business model, because I wanted to make it feel like homey and welcoming to everybody. So that's kind of our atmosphere, and our decor is just to make it very eclectic and inviting. And so I felt that it was a good name.
So you have been obviously through the ringer and back, given all the COVID stuff that's going on. And as a business owner in general, I think that it's been tough, but I think especially tough for the restaurant industry. What are some things that perhaps we don't know that go on behind the scenes?
I don't have any fingertips left from all the chemicals I touch. behind the scenes, above all, I would have to say that the restaurants are feeling this a lot. I mean, I don't want to say more than anybody else, because I don't work in anybody else's field. But when you're dealing with food and beverage and things that people, eat and touch, and, the environment, I mean, it's, and you're talking about illness, it's difficult. You know, you're trying to make sure you're doing all the right stuff to be as safe as possible and keeping your team and your staff, you know, conscious of these extra steps and precautions and things that they have to do. Because at the end of the day, you know, people, you know, I mean, you're transferring germs left and right, door handles, everything, and it's exhausting is what it is. But just in the restaurant, I mean, you know, people, we know people that have been ill at like a Walmart or a Menards or whatever, but they don't have to disclose it. And they don't disclose it that they had, you know, staff that got sick and they have to shut down and sanitize everything and take 4 or 5 days and be closed. Whereas restaurants do and are and should. And so, you know, if any one of us gets sick, there's that added element of risk involved where you have to close, lose business, and there's a stigmatism attached to it that you've done something wrong because you weren't able to keep it out. And so it's really stressful. It's been one of the most stressful things I think I've ever gone through, honestly.
So what are the new protocols? Let's go back to March when things really shut down. How long were you officially shut down?
We were going to do takeout for the first weekend, and I saw that it was flat because at that particular time, everybody was scared, and nobody wanted to really venture out and didn't know what was going on. So it wasn't worthwhile because it was a waste of labor and food that might go bad, and you didn't know how much you were going to sell. So I locked it up, and we were done until May 1st, which was on the weekend. I decided, okay, we've got to try to get back in the game because I watched every day relentlessly all the news, all the headlines, all the restaurants, what people were doing, trying to figure it out, in contact with all kinds of people. So we started up with takeout. I said, because we have to at least make a shot. We don't know what's going to happen. And we came in, it was kind of funny because we were working on it and getting ready because we were supposed to be able to open at the end of April. And I was literally sitting at my laptop the first day that we reconvened in about the middle of April to try to get everything up and running again because it's quite the process. And then on my laptop, it rolled across that we were closed until the end of May.
Oh.
And it was like I just shut the laptop and had a beer. And I'm like, okay, well, that's that. And so, we did the takeout then and just moved forward, you know, slowly. And it was enough to, you know, I don't know, really pay the mortgage. I mean, that was really about it. It's not that great because, I mean, everybody was very, very supportive, but it split amongst all the places, you know. Everybody wanted to show up. It's not like, it's not the same. It just wasn't the same. And so, it was interesting month because then everybody in the state of Wisconsin thought we had like 10 more days before we could open. Many places were in the middle of remodeling projects and doing whatever. And we're sitting there at the restaurant and preparing the patio for spring and summer. And it rolls across. I get this ping on my phone, and it's the Wisconsin Tavern League. You can open right now. And I was floored and, I don't know, really freaked out, quite honestly. And I didn't know what to do. And instantly you could see places were just flinging their doors open. And this is what we're going to do. And Prescott kind of took it a little slowly. As far as what we did, you know, No Name opened, I think, at the end of the week. Several places stayed closed and just maintained takeout and did that for the first weekend. It was amazing because exactly what I knew was going to happen happened, and we were inundated with people because we're on the border and Minnesota was still shut down. So it was just a constant stream, a flood of people over and over and over again trying to get in, wanting to drink, wanting to come into the bar. And so it was, knowing that it was the first weekend open with the new protocols, I felt it was best to try to avoid a little bit of that because, like I said, there's memory. You know, the staff was all new to this new stuff, and so I didn't want to overwhelm them with the amount of business that was going to come. So we stayed closed until Memorial Day weekend, and then it was crazy. We were full from the minute we opened until the minute we closed, and we were on a waiting list every single day for the first 3 weeks. It was amazing.
You know, that is amazing, and I have to say that happened in Hastings as well, where the community really does stand behind the businesses, as you said, as best they can. You can't support everybody every night, but it's really heartwarming, isn't it, as a business owner? I would assume that means a lot to you.
Oh, my gosh. It was incredible. I mean, and then the people that would show up that were regulars and buy several hundred dollars worth of gift certificates and you know, the messages that would come through. I mean, I had a neighbor that helped me, paid for putting some rock down in the alleyway because, I mean, just the generous outpouring. I mean, honestly, it was pretty overwhelming. It was wonderful to see, too, because it was nice to see everybody come together, which sadly doesn't happen all the time. So
no,
it was good.
Right. So we're talking now in the month of October, and I know that all summer, were you at 50% capacity?
I was. Prescott, Wisconsin, apparently at the end of June, the restrictions of what we could do were lifted. So the majority of the places went back to full capacity. I kept it at 50% capacity on the inside, and I kept all the tables spaced at 6 feet apart. I have the luxury of having the space on the patio, so I can still keep the tables 6 feet apart, although I am still missing quite a few tables out there. I utilized what was once my music stage and put some tables up there and just reconfigured everything. So my outside seating was fairly close to what it was in previous years. And then I just didn't bring people in because it took a while for me to get used to having people inside. So I would only bring people inside if it was very, very hot and they were elderly or if it was raining. And now people think I'm still not seating inside, but I am because I don't have a choice. But inside I'm missing 7 tables. So that's a huge downfall. 7 tables and 7 bar stools. So when patio season ends, I'm obviously going to feel it quite a lot. I've put a lot of things into place. I'm going to be putting the side cafe, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
It's going to be 4 season with roll-up windows and a door, and that should be in by the end of October. And
tell us more. That's exciting.
That is. It is. I'll be able to have, like, at least 5 more tables outside. I'm considering doing, you know, the igloo thing on the patio. I'm not sure if I want to go that far. So I don't know about that. That one's still up in the air because, again, I'm concerned about the environment inside, which is moist and hot and, you know, sanitization procedures. I don't know if I want to get into that, but I do have that cafe thing coming. So that's good. So I'm pretty excited about that.
And you have heaters out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we we spent a little money and invested in the heaters, and they're working. You know, it helps if people come prepared because I literally have some people showing up in the middle of October with winter coats on. But it's the thing that is amazing to me, which I did not expect, and because nothing is predictable anymore, is the amount of people that continue to show up at 50 degrees outside and it's windy and it might even be drizzling, but they refuse to come inside. And the fact that they've been seeking me out because I believe that the reputation or the word has gotten out that I've taken it seriously. If you've seen some of my reviews and stuff, I was looking at them just the other day. I was kind of floored by it, but how I've been enforcing, you know, a lot of the restrictions and making sure that people are safe. And so people are coming to me for that, and then they're insisting on staying outside. So I'm like, wow, okay. So I don't know what to expect for winter. I mean, am I going to have to shovel and, like, put people outside?
You might have to.
And I would.
Oh, I know you. I know you would. You know, I think that that's really awesome that people are recognizing how seriously you are taking the whole protocol. I know it's hard for a business, and sometimes it's easier, perhaps, to just look the other way on some of these things. But as a consumer, I'm really grateful for all you're doing to, you know, keep your business moving forward, but also in a safe way and for those around you. Tell us about the governor's new order now that just came out last week.
So, again, I didn't see that coming at all because we really felt that once the Supreme Court overturned his, you know, shutdown and the political battle that's been happening over here in the state, I'm like, they're never going to do anything in the state of Wisconsin. And I thought for sure nothing would happen. And then we saw that, and I'm like, well, how serious is this going to be taken? And everybody's really taking this one serious. So everybody's following in line. Everybody's doing exactly what they're supposed to do. And so it's 25%, which is, like I said, at this time of year, it's heartbreaking. But it only goes till November 6th, supposedly. It may be extended. As we know, those things can happen. But it's a brief period of time, I guess, you know. So, I mean, it's this time of year, we all start to slow down anyways under normal circumstances, you know. I was having a conversation with somebody else. It's like during the winter, it's real quiet over here. So, you know, it should be okay, I hope. You know, I hope everybody's been planning ahead. But I mean, I know we'll be fine. So, but it's kind of defeating on top of it, because even at what we have now, I'm talking about like 3-4 tables. That's all I have. Mm-hmm. So why even open the door? And that's where we're at. So if I get weather that doesn't look like up until that point that it's going to be worthwhile, I may just open on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for takeout and then 3-4 tables, because that's all it'll be. And so you just to save as much as you can, again, once on labor and food cost and whatever. So,
aren't you glad that you have the background you have, though? Because if you were a new business just starting out, you wouldn't have all of the expertise that you have because of all the years that you've been in this industry.
I am beyond grateful. Believe me, Treasure Island in particular has taught me, and the people that I worked with there taught me an amazing amount of stuff. But I mean, I always find that funny. It's like, I've done this my whole life, but I've always wanted to own a restaurant. So I went and bought it and did it, and boy, it failed. I'm like, this is a hard industry. I don't think I'd recommend it to anybody without a strong background.
I love it. Casey, isn't this what you see with all the entrepreneurs in Prescott? Just this tenacity and go-get-em attitude?
No, absolutely. I mean, they're there morning, noon, and night, right? So, and I think that's why we've been so successful through this. I mean, like Kimberly said, you know, everybody's supporting everybody, but, you know, we've got some smart businesses here, and a lot of them women-owned, I'm just going to have to say. So, I think that it's been incredible to watch and everybody sort of come through this together, and, you know, who knows what these next few months look like. But, you know, thankfully everybody's sort of pulled through at this point, and I think they're planning ahead as best they can, and the community is as well. So we'll continue to try to support them and make sure that everyone around us knows who's open and in what capacity, and keep everybody up to speed on what's coming out. But, yeah, I feel like, you know, every other week there's something new, and, you know, as you said, it sort of, you know, comes out of nowhere, and so they have to sort of stop and make adjustments, and it's tough on everyone, and even with, you know, schools and other local businesses and things like that. So it's every day we got to try to get through this together, but with
you
people
know,
like Kimberly
Casey,
and Lucille sticking in there, it's been great so far. So
I just want to say is that I've been very impressed as well. And just, I mean, how much the business owners have come together and how much we've supported each other back and forth. I mean, even though we're competing with each other half the time, we've all been there to lend a hand or offer advice, you know, and I know I can reach out to several other people in here and even around in other areas. But I mean, I was really happy to see that here in town. It was nice.
That is nice. Kimberly, tell us again the hours for Lucille's, please.
We are open Wednesday through Sunday only. So we open at 11 and we close at 8 on weeknights, 9 o'clock on Friday and Saturday, and then 7 on Sunday.
We appreciate your time. Lucille's restaurant is in Prescott. We want to thank the owner, Kimberly Braun, for chatting it up with us. Also, Casey Johnson, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce and Tourism Bureau Coordinator. Thank you, ladies, so much. Keep up the good work. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.
Out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life.